This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, I'm going to zap her again. Charge up the paddles. Come on, let's go.
Sorry, Doctor.
Hold the compressions.
Clear.
Straight line.
Good evening and welcome to Rock and Roll Autopsy. We are the Forensic Files on your radio dial. My name is Scott, and have we got a great show for you tonight? No, we don't. Damn it! The phone is ringing again. It's the request line. All right, let's pick it up. WRNRA, east of the Rockies.
You do that again and I'll break every bone in your body.
John Wayne? Wow, you're an icon of rugged American masculinity. What's going on, man?
You do that again and I'll break every bone in your body.
You think women should be in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant? With all due respect, sir, those viewpoints are sexist, antiquated, offensive, and unwelcome on this podcast. I demand you issue an apology to our listeners.
You do that again and I'll break every bone in your body.
What do you mean there aren't any women listening to this shitty beta male sausage fest podcast anyway? Listen, you called the request line. Is there a song you'd like us to perform an autopsy on?
You do that again and I'll break every bone in your body.
Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? By Paula Cole? You got it. All right, buckle up, gang. The subject of our rock and roll autopsy tonight will be Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? By 90s feminist folk rocker Paula Cole. We'll get the show started after these very important messages from our sponsors.
What's up, music nerds? Are you tired of wading through a sea of mediocre music, desperately seeking to find a glimmer of greatness? You're in luck. My name is Mark, and I am the host of the podcast, Songs That Don't Suck. Each week, I scour the depths of new music playlists to unearth hidden gems that defy the trends and deliver pure sonic bliss. No matter the genre, if it doesn't suck, it's on my radar. So find us on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today. And as always, keep searching for and listening to Songs That Don't Suck.
Breaking news!
What is this garbage you're watching?
I want to watch the news.
This is the news.
All right, gang, we've got our intrepid rock and roll beat reporter on the line, Rico motherfucking Gnu. How the hell are you? Welcome to 2024.
No, Gnus.
Let's hope that, and this is not just to you, this is to every one of you out there. First of all, thanks for tuning in. We really, really appreciate it. But let's hope that this year is profoundly better than the previous one. Since this is our first episode of the year, I thought we'd do something fun. And if we have time to get to the Debbie Downer news item, we'll get to it. But let's do something fun first, Scott. You want to play a little game with me?
I'm hip, dude. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. Okay, so the game today is, and this is from Loudwire, our good friends there. Can you... And the reason why I picked this for you is because one of the differences, not the difference, and not there's other differences too, but you, when it comes to music and rock especially, you are more intimate with lyrics within a song than I am. I think you're more in tune with lyrics. You pay attention to them more, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. I pay attention to lyrics too, but maybe not as much as you do. I'm concerned more with the musical part just because of everything we've talked about in the previous 900 episodes. But, Scott, can you guess the band from just one lyric? Here comes lyric number one. You ready? She's got a smile that seems to me reminds me of childhood memories.
The song is Sweet Child of Mine, Sweet Child O' Mine, and the artist is Guns N' Roses.
You are one for one. Do you know the year?
87.
Oh, did you cheat and look at this?
No, I did not. Actually, I looked at the show notes just moments before calling you. No, I know that one. I know okay. When Appetite for Destruction was a big album for me.
I know. It was gigantic.
Like sea change moments in my life. I remember it.
Does Appetite for Destruction have, probably not. Which album has the Mr. Brownstone is Appetite for Destruction, right?
You bet.
Okay. What about the Live and Let Die reboot?
Use Your Illusion 1.
Okay. Okay. Those are my two favorite Guns N' Roses songs. All right. Number two, you're one for one so far. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait.
That would be Revolution, the Beatles.
Oh, well done. Well,
the White
done.
Album. Do you want me to try to guess the year? It's the White Album. No. I'm going to say 67 or 68.
I think that's about sounds about right. But yeah, White Album. I think the White Album is one of your favorites out of that group, isn't it? Aren't you a big White Album fan?
Indeed, it's great, man. But you can't go wrong with any of the Beatles. Come on, what are you smoking, man? I know it's
no, you can't
now, but come on.
I know. 1968, by the way. It's the B side of Hey Jude, by the way. All right, here we go. This one's gonna be a little harder. So you're two for two. I've been trying to make it home, got to make it before too long.
I don't know.
Yeah, this one is Wheel in the Sky, Journey.
Oh, wow. Would not have got the great song. Yeah. Would not have gotten.
Do you happen to know the album or the year by chance?
Wheel in the Sky. Is that off of Frontiers?
No, it's one of their earlier ones. That's I believe this is the one that broke them, right? This song?
It would have to. So what record is Wheel in the Sky?
Yeah. The album is Infinity. Any idea what year that could have been?
Oh, gosh. Is that 80s or 70s?
It's 70s. 70s, actually.
So I'll say 78.
Yeah, 78, actually. Yeah, dude, this song, it's kind of weird because they were so big in the 80s, but they actually broke in the late 70s. And
yeah,
you would have thought of that, right?
Well, I remember my babysitter. We had a record. We had an old school record player in the living room that was a giant piece of furniture, like the size of a couch, if you remember those. You think about how we play music today. Everything's so tiny, but it was literally a giant piece of furniture. So when she would come to babysit, she would bring like a stack of records because that's what she was going to do, was stick us in the corner and play records all night. And I remember the Journey record because it had an amazing cover on it. The cover was super colorful and cool artwork.
I think all the Journey albums were kind of noted for having that kind of cool artwork that was kind of like a non-mechanical version of Judas Priest in kind of a way, don't you think?
Kind of, yeah. Similar and super colorful. And it made a difference,
yeah,
dude.
Totally.
When you're talking about a 12-inch by 12-inch viewing area, you know, on an album sleeve, it's a lot of space for some good-looking art. That'll sell some records, ladies and germs. Put some good artwork on the front.
Let me tell you, you are correct on that one. Okay, so you're doing pretty good so far, though. Here we go. Here's the next one. Once I had love and it was divine, soon I found out I was losing my mind.
Once I had love and it was divine, soon I found out.
We did an auto on this artist, by the way.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that. I don't know. What is it?
Here, let me sing it for you. You ready? Once I had love and it was divine, soon I found out I was losing my mind. 1978, Parallel Lines was the album. So there you go. Let's see. So that one was a little. This one's going to be easy. Dude, this is a gimme. When with the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are. Entertain us.
Oh, gosh. That would be Mr. Cobain. That would be 1991. That would be Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Yeah. Do you remember the story about the line, here we are, now entertain us? We discussed this when we autoed this song.
I vaguely remember it, but I just know the lyrics to that song just kind of across the board are largely unintelligible, as Weird Al so playfully pointed out in his parody.
Yes. Somebody, his ex-girlfriend, used to tell him he smells like Teen Spirit, and he didn't know that it was a girl's deodorant. But apparently they used to walk into parties before they were a thing, and they used to walk in and like do the, here we are, entertain us. And so that became a lyric in the song. So that became, if you remember that. So let's see, here we go. Oh, dude, here's an easy one. We come from the land of ice and snow, from the midnight sun where the springs flow.
Oh, gosh. Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, totally. Which album? Come on, you know this one.
Houses of the Holy?
No, Led Zeppelin 3.
Led Zeppelin 3, okay.
Yeah, there. 1970, Led Zeppelin 3.
Their third album was in 70, dude. You think of them as like a 70s band, but like their third album was 1970. I mean, that's crazy.
Is it fair to say that, and I know people, see, I'm not as much of a Led Zeppelin head as maybe the Brit. The Brit is a huge, see, he could comment on this big time. Didn't they get largely folky and way into themselves into the 70s, and like their best material was their first couple albums?
Well, this Led Zeppelin 3, the album you just pointed out, Immigrant Song, is like the rocker, and then that album is largely slagged for kind of being folky. You know, so but then they came back strong with Zeppelin 4, with Black Dog and Stairway to Heaven and When the Levee Breaks and all that. So, I mean, you know,
that was after this one. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it. That's Zeppelin 4.
See, that shows you how much I fucking know about Led Zeppelin. Not like that. Not in that way. But all right, here we go. You lying so low in the weeds, I bet you're going to ambush me.
Lying so low in the weeds, I bet you're going to ambush me.
I'll give you a hint. My dad really liked this song. That's not much of a hint, though.
No, it's not. What is it?
It's a Barracuda by Heart.
Oh, my God.
Lying so low in the weeds, I bet you're going to ambush me.
I don't think... I tell you, man, Heart has the 2-3 songs that have been played on classic rock radio for like 50 years, and I have always in my mind just fused Magic Man and Barracuda together.
Yep.
You know, try to understand. Ooh, Barracuda.
Right. Two different albums, though. I believe Magic Man was off of Steamboat Annie, which is really their more famous album. This one's off of Little Queen, which is 1977, Scott. So yeah, this was my dad really liked this song, because back in the 70s, your dad probably was into this. Did he have a CB? We had a CB, and my mom and dad were in the CB club, right? So CBs back in the 70s were kind of like texting now, and you had avatars, but instead of you hiding behind an avatar, you had a CB handle. It was like a nickname, right? And my dad's CB handle was Barracuda, and so because his CB handle was Barracuda, he latched on to this song. And so there you go. There's the reason for that. So we only have like one or two more, but I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That's an easy one. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall.
That would be Pinball Wizard by The Who.
Yes.
That's 68, right?
69. Better version of this song, the original or the Elton John version?
I prefer the original.
Really? See, I you could make it for me. You could make an argument that the Elton John version is just as good. But the original is the original. How can you argue with that, right?
Pete Townsend, man, he's kind of a good rhythm guitar player, you know? Word is.
All right. Yeah.
He can play some rhythm guitar.
That's a rumor on the street. I don't know how true that is, but that's what I hear. And the battle's just begun. There's many lost, but tell me who has won. You ought to get this one.
Gosh, I know it. What is it? I don't know.
Sunday Bloody Sunday, you too.
Oh, gosh. And everybody was playing New Year's Day off of War, just yesterday for the holiday. Oh man, I have not. And the battle's just begun. So they lost. Tell me who has won. Wow. Yeah, dude, I haven't listened to that record in forever. I just, man, what happened to me and U2? Probably my favorite band at one point.
Isn't your favorite U2 band album like Octone Baby or like a little like more down the road than that one?
Yeah, I love, I mean, it probably is my favorite, but I'm burnt on it. I can never listen to it again. But I love the War album. The War album's great, man.
But all right, we got one more. You ready for this one?
Yes,
they're
sir.
Forming in straight line. They're going through a tight wind or wind. I don't know. Wind, wind. They're forming in a straight line. They're going through a tight wind.
I think it will go ahead. What is it? What's the song?
Blitzkrieg Bop.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The is it wind or wind? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Who forming cares? In a straight line.
They're going through a tight wind. Probably wind because it kind of rhymes with line. Wind. Whatever. Anyway, do you want to do the Debbie Donner? Do we have time for the Debbie Donner one or do you want to take a break?
No, lay it on me, man. Let's do it.
All right. So the Debbie Donner news item that I was hoping to avoid was, let me ask you this. Is it possible in the second day of the year to have the boomer take of the year already on January 2nd? Is that possible?
I don't know, but from what I gather online is Kiss fans are going to be beside themselves if this is what being a Kiss fan means from this day forward. Is just the avatars and Paul on a soapbox.
Here's stage one of Kiss that lasted 50 years has now transitioned into stage two. And here's what all of the Kiss Army has to look forward to, Scott. Avatars that are coming out 3 years from now, and maybe half of the Kiss Army will still be alive when they're out. And here's the other part of what you now have to look forward to as a member of the Kiss Army. And I quote from Paul Stanley on X, "Happy New Year. Let's stop with, quote, I'm entitled to my opinion. At what cost to this world? If you haven't done your own credible fact-based research or parrot what you've heard or been told, you are part of the problem and the damage it causes. We all deserve more from each other." I'm appalled that a 75-year-old would have that opinion.
Well, I kind of agree with him in a sense in that if the general sentiment is please planet Earth shut up, I can get on board with that in like a big, big way. And it's funny because I was watching, what was I watching last night on YouTube? I was watching Club Random, that podcast that's on YouTube with Bill Maher, and he had Seth MacFarlane on. And Seth MacFarlane was saying how he doesn't tweet anymore and really doesn't do social media anymore because he feels like he's just adding to the noise and there's already too much noise. And that angle of it, I can certainly be hip to. There's a lot of noise anymore. And it's just, for me, I mean, I already feel a little sensitive to the sensory overload, and I definitely see some value in just shutting your pie hole. This coming from a guy who does a podcast where we talk for 90 minutes.
Right, like the funniest part about this, real quick before we take a break, is the second part of his parameters here that he lays out. If you haven't done your own credible fact-based research, okay, but we're allowed to have opinions. But part two of this is you are allowed to talk, according to Paul Stanley, if you parrot what you've heard or been told from somebody else. I'm trying to understand that.
I don't like, know. He's stepped in it a few times on social media, and I don't know if he's just like stinging from it a little bit, but I don't know.
Here, I'm going to say this real quick before we take a break. The internet is the last wild, wild west we'll ever have on this planet. I love it for that. It should always remain a wild, wild west. Enter at your own risk. What does Tony Rizzo on WKNR say with regard to this kind of stuff? Do you know what his favorite line is about this, Scott? You remember?
Get off Twitter.
Don't get hooked.
Oh.
Don't get hooked. If you don't want it to bother you, Paul, don't get hooked. Don't get hooked by the comments. it's okay. I love that people can say whatever they want to say on the internet. It's the last place on earth where we get to do this. So let's enjoy it while we have it. Because what if we lived in a society where we couldn't do that? And we got hammered for everything that we said, even if it was our own valued opinion. So that's all I got to say about that. It's just my opinion. Nobody else has to listen to me. I think this is a ridiculous boomer comment, and he should have never said it. At any rate, we're going to take a quick break, Scott. And when we come back, we're going to talk about an artist from an era of music that, as you know, I really like a lot. So stay tuned.
Looking for a good rock and roll book? Do you watch a ton of rock and roll documentaries like I do? Well, that's why I started the Rock Talk Studio podcast, to be the place to go for previews, reviews, and recommendations of rock and roll books, documentaries, and movies. Every first Tuesday of the month, the Rock Talk Studio gets you caught up on all the latest and points out where to go for the good stuff. Give me 20 minutes and I'll get you caught up on the world of rock and roll books, docs, and movies from every possible angle and leave you with a no-doubt decision on where to spend your time and money. Fan or just casual fan, or maybe you're on the fence and just looking for something new to check out, either way, I got you covered. Recently on the show, I've talked about books and documentaries from everyone and everything from David Bowie, Randy Rhoads, and the Allman Brothers, to the Abbey Road Studios, Cheap Trick, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Little Richard, and more. Join me, Big Rick, every Tuesday of the month as I host the Rock Talk Studio podcast, the ultimate review of rock and roll books, documentaries, and movies.
Our Mind on Music is a podcast that covers all things music. We cover all genres and we welcome all perspectives, from musicians, producers, and content creators to music enthusiasts. We have discussions, interviews, opinions, and much, much more. We hope you'll join us every week, Our Mind on Music, on YouTube and all streaming platforms.
We are gathered here to remember rock and roll. Rock was born the rambunctious son of country, western, and blues. In the year of our Lord, 1955. On this day, the birth of rock and roll gifted under the world a gyrating pelvis, a throbbing beat, and a pulsating rhythm. A sound so infectious and rollicking that it would endow previously scrupulous young minds with identity, individualism, and purpose, thus setting forth a multi-generational pursuit of all that is loud, debaucherous, and unholy. But, sadly, like all earthly endeavors, rock too must perish. Oh, we mourn the loss of rock and roll, with its ridiculously old standard bearers still on tour and charging ungodly amounts of Mad Jack to witness their long past the sell-by date asses on stage, and with its chauvinism, misogyny, and whiteness no longer aligning with modern sensibilities, and with its aging, fist-shaking fan base kicking every would-be rocker off their proverbial lawn, rock has indeed passed into the celestial void. May rock rest in peace in eternal cacophonous slumber. Amen.
Thank you for that, Scott.
You are listening to the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
The Autopsy Report.
Okay, gang, welcome back. Dude, Paula Cole, man, 1997, this is her big hit, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Dude, this song was up for 3 Grammy Awards. So let me tell you something. This song existed, and I've talked about this more than once, that this Paula Cole and this song was right in that super, like, juicy golden, little golden era, right after Cobain died and before Creed and Nickelback came in and ruined everything. It was right in between that where dude, any kind of like musical creative output was on the table. So much great stuff came out during this era. It's one of my favorite little 5-year time periods in the history of rock, really, to be perfectly honest with you. And there was a lot of great female artists that came out in this time period. Tons, actually. And Paula Cole is one of them. And this song was gigantic. Dude, don't sleep on this song. This is a really good song, and we'll get into why. But I gotta know, dude, did it kill rock? We're gonna find out.
Thank you, sir. Well, you're listening to Rock and Roll Autopsy. It's a regular Rock and Roll Autopsy episode. We've been sidebarring it for the last half of the year there as we kind of wound up 2023. Where have all the cowboys gone? Paula Cole. The question is, as you said so eloquently, is did it kill rock and roll? Well, thankfully, we have developed here at this podcast, Rock and Roll Autopsy, we have developed our own proprietary science that we use to determine if a song has killed rock and roll. Because as you can tell, it's 2024 now. Guys, we're getting further and further away from the 80s with every passing year. So rock is indeed dead, and it's up to us to figure out why it no longer fits in and who contributed to the death of rock and roll. Well, proprietary science, that's how we're going to find out. We've got five categories. They are gratuitous boomerism, excessive misogyny, wanton whiteness, malignant machismo, and culture vulturism. Rico, the artist is Paula Cole. The album is This Fire. The year 1997, one of Rico's favorites in the history of music. And the track, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone? Category one, gratuitous boomerism. How do you score? Hopefully she fares better than our friend, Paul Stanley.
Well, Scott, I would love to. Now, mind you, I normally let you deal with, you know, the born on date of the artist, but I took it upon myself to look it up myself this time. She was born in 68, so she is a firmly ensconced in Gen X generation, only a few years older than I am. So that really takes her down to zero. However, I can't give her zero, dude, because, and here's why. So this song, and we'll get into why maybe in the next category, but this song has been really misinterpreted. Okay. And when Rush Limbaugh jumps on the bandwagon and actually adopts the song and likes the song because of how he has misinterpreted what the song's about, I can't give it a full one, but just because Rush Limbaugh jumped on the bandwagon and actually, I don't know, dude, I have to give it a 0.5 just because Rush Limbaugh jumped on this song for the wrong reasons. And according to Paula Cole, people continue to this day to misinterpret the meaning of this song. So it's got to be a 0.5 in my opinion.
Well, I'm not hip to the Rush Limbaugh adoption of this track. I know he used the Pretenders song for years as bumper music on his radio show, but I did not know that he was a fan of this song. I got to tell you, man, if you're in those circles and you're trying to, like, Paul Ryan, the former Speaker of the House, ran into trouble with this because he was a huge Rage Against the Machine fan. And Tom Morello was like, have you read the lyrics? But at any rate, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to score it a zero. She is a Gen Xer. I thought for a minute, just because I can't score it higher than a zero. I mean, I get where you're coming from, and that makes sense. And so we'll take that half point in total, but I can't score it because I thought for a minute about, because the song is referencing a 56 Chevy, John Wayne, you know, there's some old timey kind of throwback references in here, but I think that's done intentionally lyrically to kind of set the mood to the track. So I'm going to score it a zero for gratuitous boomerism. Let's move on. Category two, excessive misogyny. And Rico, I have the lyrics available if you need to hear them.
Please. hit me with some lyrics. And by the way, this spoken word segment is brought to you by the Cock Cap in New Year's colors. I'm not sure what the color of the year is, but we have one in that color. So get your Cock Cap. And we're also looking for sponsors for this spoken word segment. So if you're interested, send us an email.
Wouldn't it suck if we had to run a commercial every time we did the spoken word segment because we got a sponsor? Because
I mean, what would happen if somebody actually wanted to sponsor your spoken word segment? I'm not sure if I could wrap my mind around that.
Joe B's. Sponsored by Joe B's.
Here, let me do where he shakes the bottle. Joe B's for you.
Oh, you get me ready in your 56 Chevy. Why don't we go sit down in the shade? Take shelter on my front porch, the dandelion sun scorching like a glass of cold lemonade. I will do the laundry if you pay the bills. Where is my John Wayne? Where is my prairie song? Where is my happy ending? Where have all the cowboys gone? Why don't you stay the evening, kick back and watch the TV, and I'll fix a little something to eat. Oh, I know your back hurts from working on the tractor. How do you take your coffee, my sweet? I will raise the children if you pay the bills. Where is my John Wayne? Where is my prairie song? Where is my happy ending? Where have all the cowboys gone? And I'll just do the bridge here. I am wearing my new dress tonight, but you don't even notice me. Say goodbyes, say goodbyes, say goodbyes. That, ladies and gentlemen, is where the marriage dissolves. Okay, Rico.
Well, and I think it's important that when you were doing your spoken word segment that you covered all the way through the bridge, because it is kind of a three-part story here. It is a story that has an arc, okay? And that's one of the cool things about this song. It's about a girl who is overly romantic about the cowboy man thing, and she wants a cowboy who's going to take care of her, and she's super willing to walk around barefoot and pregnant because that's what they do in fantasy novels, right? But then reality sets in, right? And it's not all it's cracked up to be when you have that type of guy, right? And here's where the Rush Limbaugh thing comes in, because real quick, I just want to fuck, I lost it. Anyway, Rush Limbaugh actually mistook the lyrics to the song as being Paula Cole actually being an advocate of this kind of thing. When actually, Paula Cole is really a very staunch feminist, and it's her social commentary on what she calls gender stereotyping. And it was really like calling it out, and Rush Limbaugh is being the brilliant man that he is, took it literally. And so hence my point five. But yeah, dude, like misogyny, it's kind of like reverse misogyny, because our female protagonist in this song misogynizes herself in this song in the very beginning. And then she realizes that she fucked up because of how romantic her notions about a relationship really are. So I'm going to, dude, I gotta give this one a full one because of that. I mean, I understand, you know, she takes the rose-colored glasses off at the end because she's kind of has to, but the fact that she willingly misogynizes herself, and yes, that's a word because I say it's a word, so get off me. So she misogynizes herself, and for that reason, she's gotta get a full one from me on this.
This song is sad, dude. It's sad for me in a couple of ways, and that is, I'm not the Marlboro man, but I've been an asshole from time to time. And so, you know, so I can see a little bit of myself in places in this song. I mean, I've been married for a long time, and marriage is it's a long journey. And so and I think whenever you're young and in love, which I think is what you see in the first couple verses, it's very hard to kind of project your life 20, 30, 40 years into the future, you know, and you don't see it that way. You just see, you see the person you're with and you don't kind of factor in that you're both going to be growing as human beings side by side. And you're going to kind of like throughout a relationship, you're going to fall in and out of it with one another from time to time, man. You're going to have moments where you can't stand each other. You're going to have moments where you're sick of each other. You're going to have moments where you cry, man. You're going to have all of that stuff. You're going to have moments of tremendous joy. You know, when my kids were born, I cried. You know what I mean? You're going to have like, so it's that long journey thing. And I think what you're seeing here is a young woman in the song who at the beginning saw this idealized version of what her husband and her life with him was going to be. And then as time goes on, some distance and space happens between them. And she is feeling pretty lonely and disillusioned, I think, as the song progresses, and he's just drowning himself in beer. And that's men, unfortunately, tend to isolate as we get older. You know, we're not communicative, we're emotionally closed off, and we tend to, it's a fact. You can read about it. Men, as we age, isolate ourselves. Women seek more meaningful relationships. They're tight with their friends. We stop talking to people. So obviously, whenever you're in a relationship and you're operating on two different sides of the coin like that, it's going to be difficult to coexist long term. So it takes a lot of work, you know? And I think what you're seeing here is a tale of kind of disillusionment and that long journey of life, you know? So it's kind of, to me, it's a really, really sad song. I feel for her as the main character in the song. So excessive misogyny. I don't know. Do we want to say the man is because he's effectively ignoring her? Is that misogynistic? I mean, I don't think the song...
The fact that she lets it happen and the fact that he does it is the heartbreak of this song, which right. is why I gave it a full one. I mean, you could science, you could give it whatever score you want, but yeah. I gave it because that is the component that makes the song so sad, is because she, what was an idealistic, overly romantic view about her version of a relationship turns out to be misogynistic and depressing and sad. And that's why I gave it a one anyways.
Yeah, she's clearly jealous of the friends at the farm and at the bar. And so, you know, so I guess that's where him being a little naive to, not a little, being very naive and kind of myopic, not paying attention or being awake to the fact that she needed more from him. Gosh, I'm hemming and hawing. We got to get through this. I'm going to score it a zero. Let's move on to category three. Where have all the cowboys gone? Paula Cole, category three, wanton whiteness. Rico, how did you score?
This entire era of female artistry is all really super white. And this song is really, really, really super white. It is. It's a 1.0 for how super whitey it is. The subject matter isn't necessarily super white, but let's face it, cowboys are a totally white bread thing. And yeah. This song is a totally white bread thing. So I can't give it anything other than a one.
Yeah. And it's, boy, do I want to go here? Rico's pushing. Can I even mention this tactfully?
We did brown sugar. You can do it, buddy.
Oh, so do you know where I'm? Okay, maybe you know where I'm about to go then.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm just saying we tackled brown sugar, so we could tackle just about anything else. That's where I was going with that. But no, I don't know what you're
going
to say.
It's only going on the internet. Who could possibly hear it? I'm going to go ahead and try. I think I agree with you. This is a plus one. And I'm going to go as far as to say that I don't know that this is a white woman married to this cowboy, this kind of naive cowboy. I don't know that her African-American counterpart is going to put up with this shit from her man.
I smell what you're cooking. And I agree with you. I agree with you.
Yeah, I think that
because I don't think honestly, and Man, this is a tough road to traverse here, Scott. I understand why you're delaying on this, but it's Christmas. Fuck it, right?
Yeah, it's over, bro.
Listen, can I just give you a little bit of my family history for a second? This allows me to say what you want to say.
Okay. Thank you. This is what makes podcasts interesting, is when you reveal a little bit, make it personal. Anybody can talk about these songs and read the lyrics off the internet. So please do.
If anybody has a problem with what I'm about to say, here's why I'm allowed to say it. Because my cousin, who shall remain nameless, did my family genealogy on my dad's side. And it turns out, interestingly enough, Scott, didn't know if you knew this or not, actually, but my dad's mom's grandfather, going back to that era, her mom was Spanish, from Spain, who was married to a freed slave, Scott. Wow. So I've got freed slave in my blood, which means I'm part African-American, maybe a small percentage, but I have it in my blood, which makes me totally okay to say what you want to say, because I am part African-American per my cousin's genealogy study on my family. Okay. So what you're trying to say is there isn't a black woman on earth that would put up with this fucking shit, and they would have laid the hammer down on that dude.
Thank you very, very much. Yes, this would have been nipped in the bud long before this man was spending every day at the farm and every evening in a bar. She would not put up with it. She would have laid the hammer down and his ass would be at home where she wanted him to be.
Precisely.
Or the marriage would be over.
Or the marriage would be over.
I'm giving it a plus. All right, let's move on.
My genealogy story is true, by the way. I'm not making that up.
Well, you are dark complected. I've been saying this for years.
Yeah. I mean, I'm mostly Italian, but I got a couple other things going on in there.
Yeah. I've challenged your Caucasian-ness on many, many times.
You want to know what's funny about what you just said? I have always said for a really long time that I am the most non-Caucasian person that I know.
You are. In those boxes on the census form, you could check other and be totally legit.
Guess what? I do check other.
Do you?
Yeah.
Good man.
It depends on what mood I'm in. Sometimes I check Caucasian because I can. And sometimes, you know, I've checked Latino before, because, you know, I am part Spanish, and so technically I'm allowed to do that.
Yeah.
I think, hell, dude, I think I've even checked black once or twice, because according to my cousin, I can. So I'm not lying. Just depends on what mood I'm in.
So can we peel the onion back a little further? Weren't you experiencing like some, like when you wore a beard, people would give you like side eye?
You know what's funny? I got some stories about that. So
do I need to cut this out of the podcast? Should we hit pause?
No. This only reinforces this discussion. So, you know, for a few years, I lived in Illinois. Remember
yes,
that,
sir.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Did I ever tell you how I was profiled in Illinois?
Yes, that's what I'm referencing. But I didn't know if it was okay to reference it.
Oh, totally. So okay. I didn't know what it was like to be profiled, because, you know, I have, you know, if you, I don't know, do we have pictures of our, oh yeah, on our Instagram of me modeling one of our shirts where I'm doing the metal sign with your, you know, the fucking, what do you call this thing?
Yeah, it's with the horns.
Yeah. So go on our Instagram, look at the merch section, and you'll see me with, I've got a winter hat on and I'm modeling one of our shirts. That's me. So the point is if you don't know my ancestry, I could pass for about 6 or 7 different things. Right. No lie. Right. And so when I lived in Illinois, our car was in disrepair and somebody hit the back bumper and the back bumper fell off, and we didn't have the money to fix it because, you know, we were there for certain reasons that I'm not going to get into. But when I would drive this car around, particularly at night, I was pulled over at least a half a dozen times.
Unbelievable.
For absolutely nothing. And this is the middle of Illinois, where the middle of Illinois is like the entire county is like Stepford Wives. There's farm and there's a university and there's no diversity at all. It's just a bunch of white people and it's crazy. And in fact, my counterpart who was studying went out to go to the gas station at 2:30 in the morning, got pulled over by a policeman and told her at 2:30 in the morning, do you want to know why I pulled you over? And she said, I was just going to the gas station, get a pack of cigarettes. And he said, oh, I pulled you over because I thought you were your husband.
Wow.
Told her right to her face that he pulled her over because he thought she was me. And she was not speeding. She was doing nothing, but he recognized the car and knew who I was because I had been pulled over before. And that's why he pulled her over, because he was profiling me and thought it was me driving. So I know what it's like to be profiled. So yeah, I can say what you wanted to say about this song. So it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, yeah, dude, that's some gross fucking shit.
Yeah.
Rico, black, white, brown, whatever the hell color you are, you're perfect just the way you are, sir. Hey, let's move on. Category for malignant machismo, where have all the cowboys gone?
The thing that I like about this song is how the verse is super low key and the chorus is super feminine, right? So it's like the anti-machismo, but in a really machismo way. Like, the song is a super powerful song, but you don't need James Hetfield to get the message across with this song. Like, she does it in the complete opposite way. So for me, because she does such a great job of being powerful in a very feminine way, that's going to be a zero for me.
Yeah, it's almost goes to kind of how you were thinking with the reverse misogyny in that category, is that this song outlines all of the tropes of machoism and pulls the rug out from under each one of them, right? The cowboy, John Wayne, the beer, your back hurts, tractor, we're doing dishes, I'm making your food. You know, all of those tropes are in place, right? The big gun. It even goes there at one point, right? The shiny gun, the Lone Ranger, the Marlboro Man. It's all the tropes of what we consider to be, or at least one time considered to be, kind of the hallmarks of machismo, right? But she's doing it in a really clever way where she's kind of pulling the rug out from under each one. You know, these lyrics are a lot. I'm just going to say it. This is something Jello Biafra would write. I mean, this is...
Yep.
Because it's taking that sarcastic approach. Music is super sparse. I love the drum tone on it. I had read that she was really inspired by Prince's When the Doves Cry on this kind of idea of doing a song without any bass, and how it kind of pops on a really bad stereo in a car, how it gives it almost more power being so dry. I love the sparseness. I love the arrangement to it. You're right. Lyrics are kind of spoken in the verse and then really sung in that beautiful kind of like full voice in the chorus section. Listen, I'm going to score it a zero because I don't think this song is doing what, like, this isn't Motley Crue's Girls, 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 right? This is, we're doing something else with these tropes here. So they're using them cleverly to subvert kind of gender roles and stereotypes. So I'm going to score it a zero. Let's move on to our final category, culture vulturism. Where have all the cowboys gone? Paula Cole, Rico, how do you score?
Yeah, this is musically, I really, even back when it first came out, I always thought the fucking, all the verses of this song, where it's just like the snare drum with the brushes, and it's just very like, there's no instruments. It's just, it's her speaking the words and also double tracked with her singing really soft at the same time. And I always thought that had a cool little groove to it. I always really like this song for the musical aspect of it. Totally unique. I mean, if you listen to it, yeah, she says there's a little bit of country inspiration in this, which you can kind of catch in the chorus a little bit. But dude, this is in that awesome era between Cobain and Creed and Nickelback, where there was so much awesome creative music, and nobody, and it is as much of it that existed in this little 5-year time period. The crazy part about it is nobody stepped on each other's toes. Everybody had their own little unique thing, like Paula Cole, Veruca Salt, the fucking Cranberries, Garbage, Mazzy Star, Tracy Bonham. Like there's so many great female artists and like the Presidents. There's so much going on in this 5-year time period, and everybody had their unique, your own little unique facet that didn't interfere with anybody else. Nobody stole each other's thunder during this time period, which was amazing considering how short the time period was. But yeah, this song, super unique. Like you can pick it out of a million. Like it's that unique. And for that, I'm going to give it a 0.
Yeah, I think, I mean, all great points. And I think I would have to score it a 0 as well. It's just a really well crafted, thoughtful track. It's somber. I mean, to me, the song is very, very sad, you know, and that can be for a number of reasons. I unfortunately identify sometimes with being this guy who's oblivious, but most of the time it's just because, you know, I'm just dealing with my own fucked up brain and I get lost in there sometimes. But at any rate,
and you used to smoke Marlboro Reds, so.
I did, but you know what? I did smoke Camels for a while, you know, but really? Yeah, I did. But Marlboro Reds was definitely my, gosh.
Which one did you prefer? If you had to go back to one, which one would you go back to?
Oh my gosh, dude. The thought of smoking a cigarette again. Can I tell you what, man? On Christmas Day, it was like 60 degrees, unseasonably warm, super sunny. And so I decided to take the dog for a nice long walk. So I put some music on and I'm walking the dog. And I'm going to tell you that all of Highland Square in beautiful Akron, Ohio, celebrated Christmas on a sunny 60 degree day by blazing up outside, man.
I knew that was coming. Hey, man, it's legal now.
Well, I don't know how I'm going to fudge this, but basically the podcast was interrupted because I had to go unclog a toilet.
Oof.
Yeah, I've got kids and a lot of toilet clogging happens in the home these days. Excessive use of toilet paper.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you. Like I had 2 overflows in like the last 2 weeks. So I'm right there with you. Trust me. So anyway, no, you were saying your neighborhood has become one giant hot box now, is what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely over Christmas, man. Walking the dog, it just smelled like weed everywhere. But I totally lost the rhythm of what we were saying, so I don't even recall. But I will say this, when we're talking lamenting gender roles in the household, yeah. I just had to interrupt the podcast to unclog a toilet. And... And yesterday on New Year's Day, my back is killing me today because I spent the entire freaking day with our washing machine in a million pieces, attempting to repair it. So, you know,
it sounds like your wife knows where her cowboy has gone in the basement to record a podcast.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes the staleness of gender roles, the door swings both ways sometimes. All right, let's wrap this up. Rock and Roll Autopsy. Yeah. Where have all the cowboys gone? Paula Cole. I have got, let's see. I've got 1 point, Rico. 1 point.
I've got 2.5
for a grand total of
3.5.
Yeah, right where it should be.
Exactly. It's that good. This song is that good that it just about actually contributed to rock. That's how good this song is. Like I said, dude, people who are going to look at the title of this ep and be like, Paula Cole, what the fuck? Don't fucking sleep on this song, dude. This is a really great song, actually.
I'm a firm believer that if rock and roll is ever going to get off its ass and capture the imagination of young people in this country ever again, it's probably going to happen because women grab the torch and take over the genre. And I think you're seeing that in a lot of ways. Some of the most exciting artists in rock now are women. And so I think it's probably, you know, Paula Cole, you're talking about the 90s, but I'm saying in general, moving forward, yeah, contributed to rock, absolutely. And I one day hope to, in my lifetime, see rock ascend to the top of music once again in the US of A. And I do think that's probably not going to come from a bunch of dudes that capture the imagination of young people. I think it's going to have to be some women with something to say. And you know what? I kind of think they're out there and doing it right now.
Fuck yeah, they are, because dudes just simply, we just can't get out of our own way. And see, that's where the woman rocker is a little bit different, because they are much more capable of resuscitating rock than I think men probably are, to be perfectly honest with you.
We've already seen 50 years of dudes rocking.
Yeah.
Dudes have dominated the, you know, it's been largely a dude fest, which is why we have the categories we have it's why it's a part of our science. And so,
a fucking 60-year-old sausage fest gets old after a while, right? We need to change it up a tad.
Whose sausage are you calling 60? All right, gang. Thanks for listening. It has been Rock and Roll Autopsy. Good night now.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah.
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
Guys, it was like a mystique. There's no mystique anymore.
To the dawn, love it to the morning. I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at @RNRAutopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Before you go, if you like heavy metal and stories, then you'll love Battle of the Bands, the narrative form metal podcast that unpacks the biggest rivalries in rock and metal history. Season 1 took in Megadeth versus Metallica, and Season 2 went across the divide to explore the beef between Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. It's like Business Wars, but metal. Find Battle of the Bands wherever you listen to your podcasts, or visit battleofthebandspod.com.